Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with 5-star service. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Adam Vingan in the house for Jared Stillman. How are we doing, Adam?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Of course, Ian Safar is here. What's going on, Ian?
What up? What up?
Well, let's get into it because it's been a pretty slow news week, hasn't it? No. Titans GM John Robinson fired earlier this week, and we were kind of all left up to our own devices to try and decipher exactly what happened behind the scenes with the Titans. What brought upon the firing of GM John Robinson? And I hoped, at least I didn't necessarily expect, but I hoped that we were going to get a few answers from Mike Vrabel in his press conference yesterday. I wanted Mike Vrabel to at least divulge a little bit of information about what led to this firing, why now, and a lot of the questions that were asked really were for Amy Adams Strunk, who we have not heard from other than a statement put out on Twitter earlier this week. But it was all fair questions that the media should have asked, and I thought the media asked very good questions at Mike Vrabel's press conference yesterday. I think Mike Vrabel handled it as best as he probably could, considering a lot of that information was not his to give out. Some of it was Amy Adams Strunk's. But Adam, I've learned to speak a new language since I moved to Nashville, and that language is Vrabelese. It is trying to figure out what Mike Vrabel is saying, because he's not going to tell you what he thinks. He's not going to tell you what he means, but he might drop a few hints here and there. So I had to go into my Vrabelese and try and decipher some of the things that Mike Vrabel was saying and try and figure out what happened with John Robinson. Because now that John Robinson is out, it inevitably means more control, more power, more say for Mike Vrabel in terms of the roster. So how big of a role did Mike Vrabel play in the firing of John Robinson so he could have more control over the roster? That was a question that I had going into this press conference and how much we would really learn from the press conference. But Mike Vrabel was asked that exact question. How he feels about the roster construction, how big of a role he will play in roster construction. And this was Mike Vrabel.
Do you feel like you had enough involvement in the construction of this roster right now?
My focus is clearly on the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is like, what do we need to do? Who's going to be available? To look back and to reflect. My job was to do everything and to support the personnel staff wherever I could, to make sure I coordinated the coaching staff and ultimately get the players prepared. That goes on this week. You know, I mean, that this is, you know, again, the timing and the change is never easy. We recognize that. You know, we're looking forward to it. The players had an unbelievable attitude. You know, they're looking forward to getting back into football, you know, after having lost.
Okay, so Mike, hey, do you feel like you've had enough say in roster construction? Which is a very fair question that was asked by TD, that, hey, was this a move that was maybe fueled by frustration that Vrabel didn't have enough say in roster construction, that he was frustrated with some of the players that John Robinson brought into this Titan team? Not yes, not no. Focus on the Jaguars. You know, I'm focused on the game on Sunday. Mike, nobody is focused on the Jaguars on Sunday. No member of the media that showed up to that press conference is wondering about or is focused on the Jaguars. You know, this is tough. Change is hard. I'm focused on the Jags. So, of course, he didn't think there was enough say in roster construction. If he did think that he had enough say in roster construction, don't you think he'd say so?
I'm going to dock Mike Vrabel points for saying Jaguars. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. It's Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Or if you're British, Jaguar, like you have a luxury car.
I do kind of prefer the British pronunciation.
But Jaguars, I cringe every time I hear that. But that's neither here nor there. Look, Mike Vrabel was put in a hard spot yesterday. And as I was watching the news conference, the first thing that came to mind, and this is something I've thought about a lot with Mike Vrabel, listening to him interact with reporters. Back in 2017, when Joe and I were covering the Predators' playoff run for the Tennessean, Joe wrote this great feature about Pierre Laviolette during the Western Conference Final against Anaheim. And in that feature, Joe referred to Pierre Laviolette as a quote-unquote professional sourpuss. And I still remember that to this day. And it's a label that perfectly fits Mike Vrabel. And, you know, Mike Vrabel, like I said, was put in a tough position yesterday, having to answer questions about something that, according to him, he had nothing to do with. He was asked if he was informed ahead of time. I mean, if he was a part of the decision-making process. And he said, I was just told it was when the decision was made, I was told. And whether
which
or not.
Which still isn't yes or no.
Which is not yes.
It's
exactly.
Just when the decision was made, they told me.
Right. So, you know, he was certainly cagey. And there were certain things he said that left way too much room for interpretation. I commend him for doing the best he could under those circumstances. But as you said, I did feel like, you know, Mike Vrabel, you know, he doesn't like to give out too much information. There are instances, however, where being upfront is your best method because it eliminates speculation. There really wasn't anything that Mike Vrabel said yesterday that lent itself to eliminating any sort of speculation as to his role in his potential role, excuse me, in the dismissal of John Robinson.
If anything, it fed speculation and it created more questions, at least for me. And I don't think I'm alone in thinking that. But he said, hey, you know, my focus is on the Jags. But he was asked about, you know, now that Mike Vrabel will kind of go hand in hand with Ryan Cowden in deciding the roster and constructing the roster at least through the end of this season, Mike Vrabel was asked, so kind of how does that power dynamic work?
That's fine to say on the roster between you and Ryan.
I mean, I think ultimately Amy does. I would say that, you know, we're just trying right now to work forward to see where we're at with the guys to finish the season. You know, we've signed guys, we've brought guys in, we've signed John Reed, Terrell Basham before that. I don't see that as being something that's even, you know, any sort of issue. You know, I mean, we're trying to find some guys out there that so may help us going down a stretch.
If there was an issue, though, that you and Ryan disagreed upon, whose decision would be the decision that ends up being made by the club?
I would imagine that Amy, the person that makes every that would have the final say in every decision if we disagreed, and that's where we would leave it at.
Amy Adams Strunk never has had final say on roster construction. I cannot imagine. And maybe those are more big decisions that she's involved in. You know, the Julio acquisition, trading AJ Brown, any massive moves. Those are moves that she's going to be filled in on. You cannot tell me that Amy Adams Strunk is going to have the final say in, hey, Amy, we need to pick up another DB from the 49ers practice squad. What do you think about this one player who has been on, you bounced around from practice squad all season long? You think Amy Adams Strunk is going to have final say with that? Amy Adams Strunk is not Jerry Jones. Amy Adams Strunk does not have, or traditionally at least, has not had that involvement in roster construction. So why is that changing now?
Yeah, that was an interesting answer as well. And I know that there has been a lot of time spent over the past couple of days, you know, on this station talking about, you know, the potential of Mike Vrabel having more authority in making personnel decisions, and how I think most people, at least, you know, I know Jared certainly doesn't want Mike Vrabel to have, you know, ultimate say in personnel moves, because there are a few coaches that can do it and it doesn't always seem to work.
It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah. And Mike Vrabel, to me, this is a completely outsider perspective. I know Mike Vrabel loves ball. But he doesn't seem like a guy who wants to spend a whole lot of time, you know, scouting and, you know, going to, you know, the Senior Bowl and things of that nature that John Robinson would typically do, or a general manager would typically do. You know, he just seems like he wants to coach, which is also why, you know, the idea of him leaving for college also doesn't seem like, again, I know that it was a column written by Joe that has been taken out of context, but the idea of Mike Vrabel, you know, going to recruits' homes and trying to pitch teenagers on joining Ohio State, it just doesn't seem like a Mike Vrabel thing to do. So
I have to give credit to Joe Rexroth, though. Mm-hmm. He wrote an opinion piece about what he thinks Ohio State should do or might do if they do decide to fire Ryan Day.
Yeah.
And we've had so many callers, texters, people on Twitter talking about how it's a realistic possibility. Yeah. And maybe it is.
It is interesting.
But this is only born from an opinion piece by Joe Rexroth. Yeah. And power of the written word.
And as Joe has said, you know, it's not, you know, his column has been taken out of context, but it's just another example of how, you know, people consume news these days. But, you know, I was left, as I said, I was left with just as many questions about the situation regarding John Robinson after Mike Vrabel spoke yesterday as I had before he spoke. And I think part of it was because, you know, Mike Vrabel, as like I said, as he has claimed, had no input on the decision. And I know we'll be talking about whether or not, you know, Amy Adams Strunk should have, spoken about this, which I think we both agree that she should have. I think, I don't, you know, but, you know, like I said, Mike Vrabel, he did, I feel like, an adequate job under tough circumstances, but I don't think you can leave that the news conference thinking, if you are a member of the Titans, well, we're good.
Job's done here.
Time to focus on the Jaguars. No, we're not. No.
I mean, you don't fire a winning general manager in the middle of the season and expect one press conference with the head coach to suffice.
No.
But there was one final thing that I heard from Mike Vrabel that we didn't get a definitive answer from. Roster construction under John Robinson and roster construction with both Ryan Cowden and Mike Vrabel in this post-John Robinson era are two questions that Mike Vrabel specifically wanted to dodge. But this was the final question, and I think this is the most interesting one to me.
You said at the time that you were on board with the AJ trade when it happened and that you and John had talked about it and shared a wall. Do you still feel that way about the AJ trade?
Here's what I feel. I feel like, you know, to look back in the past and second guess, like, we made a decision and that we felt like was in the best interest of the football team and, you know, the decision and that we wanted ahead at the time. And so, you know, AJ's in Philadelphia and we're moving forward. We're moving forward, of course. You know what I mean? Like, we all, you know, again, there's decisions. And then when you make decisions, you respect them and you make sure that, you know, again, we find ways to prepare the players to win and that we ultimately win and that we're doing our job and that we're held to a high standard.
So Jared asks a very fair question. Are you still in favor of the AJ trade? Doesn't say yes. Doesn't say no. Mike Vrabel simply just gaslights Jared and says, we're not going to look back. So that makes me think, was Mike Vrabel in favor of the AJ trade? And that's what I want to get into coming up next. Plus, your thoughts, your calls, your text, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company, Adam Vingan, in for Jared Stillman today, 1025-1063 The Game.
Hey, it's Jared. I want to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code JGM. FanDuel has all of your favorite bets, from the point spreads to the money line to player props and more. And you can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay, which is perfect for today's Thursday night football matchup. I think the Rams stink. Stink. So I'd load up on the Raiders. Because even though the Raiders stink, the Raiders still have a quarterback and a pulse. So I will go, and not a very big pulse, but still enough of a pulse. Like, they're at least trying. I'll go with the Raiders. Big. So sign up with the promo code JGM for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code JGM. And make every moment more this season with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Stillman and Company, hey, tune into this Sunday's Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the San Francisco 49ers at 3:25 p.m. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. So I thought it was very interesting yesterday, Adam, how Mike Vrabel didn't answer any direct questions or answered questions directly when asked about John Robinson, when asked about the roster construction, and specifically when asked about A.J. Brown. And so I have been asking myself, and I think the listeners have been asking themselves, you've probably been asking themselves, every other host, every probably person in this city, every Titans fan has been asking themselves, why make this move? And we've come up with so many theories of, you know, did something happen on the plane that night and the NFL pushed this to happen? Was it simply just losing to the Eagles and that Amy Adams Drunk had enough? Was there something more going on here? Was there an internal feud that pushed this decision to be made right now? Was it simply just a rash overreaction by the Titans ownership? And I was listening to Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, earlier, and they were discussing why was this move made? And Mike Florio had a theory.
Look, I continue to maintain. Power struggle, Vrabel won.
Yeah.
A.J. Seems like Brown,
that. Right.
Catalyst. Because, Chris, they've done nothing to put out any other story. There's been no effort to push back against those of us who would say, well, they didn't see eye to eye. Mike Vrabel's won enough games that he's got the juice now. And between Julio Jones, because I don't know what other disagreements they've had, but I guarantee you Mike Vrabel didn't want Julio Jones in Tennessee. Right. That wasn't his call, as right. evidenced by the fact that he was nowhere to be seen or heard from when they made that trade. And he was vindicated. A.J. Brown, we know. We have the visual evidence. Clear and obvious that Mike Vrabel was not happy that A.J. Brown was traded. And on Sunday, he was vindicated. Chris, I think it's as simple as they get their asses kicked by A.J. Brown and the Eagles on Sunday. On Monday, Amy Adams Strunk decides John Robinson's got to go, but I'll sleep on it. And she did. And Tuesday morning, John Robinson went. And there has been nothing, no effort whatsoever by the Titans to tell anyone who may be saying that they're off base. So we're on base. We are right on the money. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one. More often than not, the simplest explanation is the right one. And the simplest explanation here is Vrabel versus Robinson. Vrabel 1, Robinson 0.
Interesting. Mike Florio says it was a power struggle that was pretty much based in the Julio trade and the A.J. Brown trade. And Mike Florio says, you know, it was pretty clear that Vrabel didn't want Julio Jones and that was a bad move. Look, we've been telling you that since before that move was made. I think there are a lot of people with a pulse that didn't think that the Julio Jones trade was bad. I disagreed with the trade at the time. But I think general managers make dumb acquisitions and dumb signings a lot, unfortunately. But it doesn't cost them their jobs. I mean, Vingan, you're a Saints fan. Mickey Loomis made a horrendous decision to sign Taysom Hill to a massive contract like that. It made no sense to me. I don't think it made sense to a lot of people. But Mickey Loomis isn't going to lose his job simply because he made a dumb signing. I don't think that John Robinson would lose his job simply because Mike Vrabel didn't agree with the signing of Julio Jones, even though on the outside looking in, it looked like kind of a dumb decision. And he also mentions A.J. Brown. Not liking the A.J. Brown trade. Said it was very obvious that he was not happy with the A.J. Brown trade. I don't know if I'm fully on board with that because Mike Vrabel said in his press conference, we made the decision to part ways with A.J. And I know a lot of people cite, you know, Mike Vrabel's body language the night that trade was made. I'm sure it was an uncomfortable decision. I'm sure it was an uncomfortable move, a move that was putting a whole lot of faith into Treylon Burks. So I can understand feeling a little bit of stress or anxiety over that decision. But I don't know if it was necessarily just going off of Vrabel's body language, pure opposition to that trade.
Yeah, and I have to imagine that just considering the amount of transactions that are made, you know, by an NFL general manager, whether it's practice squad, waiving certain guys, free agents, trades, et cetera, that not every move are the – not with every move, the general manager and the coach are going to be in lockstep. That's what I'm trying to say. Easy for me to say. So I have to imagine there were times where John Robinson said, I want to do this, and Mike Vrabel grudgingly went along with it, and vice versa. I'm sure there were times where – Mike Vrabel expressed interest in a player that maybe John didn't want to acquire and decided to do it because he thought it would be best for the team. So that happens in all aspects of life. You know, sometimes you have to compromise and sometimes you're not and sometimes you're not going to get your way. You know, the one thing that you can one thing is clear, even if you aren't, you know, around the Titans every day, you know, Mike Vrabel, clear alpha dog. John Robinson, clear alpha dog. There is only so much time where two leaders of a pack, so to speak, can coexist before one takes over the other. And it just felt that, you know, it looked in recent times, in recent seasons, I feel like the Mike Vrabel, almost similar to what John Hines has done. But since he's been here for the Predators, I feel like lately the Titans have done, or specifically Vrabel, has done more with less. The quality of his roster has not been, in my opinion, up to snuff as compared to previous years, similar to the Predators. And it just felt like Mike Vrabel, as you know, we like to say, turned chicken poop into chicken salad. But John Robinson in recent years kept on feeding him chicken poop to turn into chicken salad. So while Vrabel was seemed to be, you know, doing the best he could, it felt like Robinson took a step back in terms of his ability to accentuate the roster. So in that case, in the battle of two alphas, Mike Vrabel had been doing better. Mike Vrabel wins.
And I would understand Mike Vrabel's frustration of him saying, look, I can only win so many games when you're taking away all of my good players and when the amount of talent on my roster just doesn't stack up against the rest of the league. Even if the Titans are going to win the division, even when the Titans make the playoffs, it still gets so much more difficult to win games. And I understand Mike Vrabel's frustration, but you bring up the fact that Robinson and Vrabel were two alpha dogs. And when two alpha dogs have a disagreement, one's going to have to come out on top. One's going to have to win.
It's like my first mute.
Joe Rexrode.
Very Joe Rexrode. Nice. He'd
be very proud of you, Adam. Yeah.
I'm usually better at it than this, but anyway.
Which is interesting because Joe does this every day.
Yes, and he's
he should be used to it.
Yeah, but I just imagine those National Geographic videos or Planet Earth videos where you see the two rams just bucking horns and just headbutting each other until one eventually capitulates. That's what I feel like we're seeing from what we were seeing, perhaps, from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. They were butting heads, and eventually Vrabel got the better of them.
And you bring that up, and in that Mike Florio clip, he cites Julio Jones in the A.J. Brown trades. I thought it was interesting because when I heard that, it reminded me of something that you sent me last night. And this is from Albert Breer's Monday Morning Quarterback. And a question was sent in about, you know, the Titans firing John Robinson. Where do they go from here? And this is what Albert Breer said. I had it theorized to me by more than one NFL person Tuesday, people who know both guys well, that it's possible that this was just a case of a partnership between two alphas, to your point, Adam, and Vrabel and Robinson running its course. There was clear and public disagreement over the Brown trade. My understanding is Robinson and the personnel department had long-term concerns about Brown's knee. The deal for Julio Jones, in which Vrabel got a player who physically couldn't practice, rubbed against the culture that Vrabel built too. And there are other examples that, on a surface level, could have generated enough friction between the two. So Albert Breer is a Boston guy. Mike Vrabel, also a Boston guy. I trust what Albert Breer says, and it aligns with what Mike Florio said. And I don't think those two just cooked up these two trades out of nowhere. Of course, those were the most public moves that have been made over the past couple of years. But the fact that those two trades stand out and that both of them cite that Mike Vrabel was against it. And Albert Breer says, you know, clear and public disagreement over the A.J. Brown trade. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think that it was public disagreement from Mike Vrabel.
Not maybe, clear in public.
Not clear. I mean, we were trying to infer his body language.
I like, guess if you, yeah,
wasn't
if you,
clear.
The body language from the videos from the draft that they put up, that's what you're kind of going off of, right?
Right, exactly.
And his tone after the press conference, afterwards, you know, he kind of seemed a little chapped.
I mean, I would rather do a Zapruder film study of Mike Vrabel's body language in the draft room than wondering if one of his kids is using the bathroom with the door open.
Oh, yes. During the Zoom draft.
During the Zoom draft a couple of years ago, if I had to choose. But yeah, I mean, we're going off of a 5-second clip. And look, Vrabel did not look happy. But
he never looks happy.
But he does. That is true. He never looks happy. And what's interesting is just thinking back to recent notable moves that the Titans have made and wondering, okay, was this a Vrabel-inspired move or a Robinson-inspired move? Was Jadeveon Clowney a Vrabel move or a Robinson move? And I think most people assume it was a Vrabel move because of their shared history.
Came from Houston.
And Houston. What about Vic Beasley? Was Beasley a Robinson move or a Vrabel move? Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, obviously, you know, the Caleb Farley pick. The Isaiah Wilson pick. Like, it's interesting to think about, okay, based on what we think we know, which of these two men had, you know, the influence in making this move happen? So, yeah.
And that's what I look to here, is we have two people, one specifically that I think is very plugged into Mike Vrabel and the heartbeat of Mike Vrabel's sources, saying that it was Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. And I think it's pretty obvious that I don't think Mike Vrabel liked Julio Jones from the start. The whole don't do dumb stuff that hurts the team. That was born from something that Julio Jones did. Let's not forget the personal foul against the Arizona Cardinals. So I think that was pretty obvious. And then the A.J. Brown trade just kind of set it over the edge. But I never thought that Mike Vrabel was so anti-A.J. Brown trade that it could have led to this. So if it wasn't just the trade, was there something that happened on Sunday, either on the field or off, that influenced this decision? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game. And hey, tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week. I already said that. Predators Game Day, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit tjandersonhomes.com to see why they are referred so often. And also, I want to tell you about the Caesars Sportsbook app. So your first bet with Caesars is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Just sign up using the promo code RADIOFULL, one word, RADIOFULL, and then place your first bet. And if you win, congratulations. That money is all yours. But if not, don't worry about it, because you'll get that stake back as a free bet. Now, if you're looking for your first bet to place, Thursday Night Football tonight, Caesars Sportsbook has an odds boost going on, the tight end takeover boost. Tyler Higbee over 39.5 receiving yards and Foster Moreau over 3.5 receptions tonight as the Rams take on the Raiders at plus 500 odds. Open to users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a credit. Must use within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook, you bet, you get.
What's the reason and what's the cause and what's the purpose of doing it now? I mean, I understand that, you know, you have to make decisions. But I can understand that this was a 3-13 team, or a team that was, you know, just consistently losing. They had 5 seasons where they went to the playoffs, and you're letting your general manager go now when you're still in position to make a Super Bowl run. So I look at it as something happened Sunday night. And the reason why I say I believe something happened Sunday night, it might not happen on a plane, but I guarantee you, and I know I'm speculating a little bit, but I bet you when they went back to Metro Center, something happened in those meeting rooms where somebody got upset, because you just don't, you know, let a guy go when they're winning. I don't understand.
There you go. That was Chris Sanders on Stillman & Company yesterday. And Chris Sanders brings up a very interesting point. because we heard both from Albert Breer, a Boston guy who's plugged in with Vrabel sources. Vrabel, also a Boston guy. We heard it from Mike Florio, who we know is very plugged into the league as well. And each of them cite the Julio Jones trade, bringing him in, and the A.J. Brown trade, trading him away, that those were two reasons why Mike Vrabel got so frustrated with John Robinson, that those two moves caused so much friction between the two. And I understand. I get it. So my next question is, why now? You're 7-5. You've got a winning season. You're going to win the division. You're going to go to the playoffs. So you can't even wait until mid-February, after the end of the season to fire your general manager?
The timing is peculiar for sure, but when this news first popped across my timeline the other day, and I, like everyone else, rubbed my eyes a couple of times, cleaned my glasses, made sure that what I was seeing was real, I wasn't being duped by a fake Ian Rappaport account, all of that stuff. The first thing that came to mind, just because of my employment history, was the parallels between the Titans and the Predators in recent seasons.
Yeah.
And I think there are, it's not a perfect comparison, but there are similarities between the job that John Robinson did over the course of his time with the Titans and the job that David Poyle has done during his time with the Predators. Now, of course, David Poyle has been at it a lot longer than John Robinson did it in Nashville, but think about, 2019, 2021. I think Jared actually had a tweet about this earlier, about the idea, pushing back on the idea that John Robinson had, for lack of a better term, reached his ceiling as general manager of the Titans. To your point, winning seasons every year, probably going to win the division again this year, going to make the playoffs. But what's the one thing we've always said about the Predators? It's, just making the playoffs is
not
good enough anymore. And Robinson had a stretch of time where he could do no wrong. I make sure I'm not screwing up my timelines here. He drafted Derrick Henry. He drafted Kevin Byard. He drafted Jeffrey Simmons.
He drafted A.J. Brown.
He traded for Ryan Tannehill on the cheap. He was making a lot of great moves. And the Titans had a window to win. Unfortunately, they did not. And then the moves started becoming more questionable. Acquiring Jadeveon Clowney, acquiring Vic Beasley, trading for Julio Jones, decisions to cut Roger Saffold, or things of that nature. The good moves became fewer and further between. Similarly to David Poyle, there was a time where David Poyle could do no wrong. The P.K. Subban trade worked out great. The Ryan Johansson trade has worked out really well for the Predators. They were a championship caliber team for a couple of years, but then they started, sort of chasing it when they didn't win in that window. There was the Kyle Turris trade and the Ryan Hartman trade and the Mikhail Granlund trade and moves that became a bit more questionable. And I do give the Titans credit, despite the peculiar timing of it all. Amy Adams-Strunk saw that her team was not going to be, didn't she did not believe her team was going to be competitive enough to win a meaningful game. Winning the division, I'm not saying that is not an accomplishment.
This is a crap division.
But it's not a good division, and it hasn't been a good division for a long time. So yes, they would host a playoff game. But if they host a playoff game, do you feel good about their chances against the Miami Dolphins? Can you imagine Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle against this secondary? You saw what A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith did last week.
T's and P's.
Can you imagine Waddle and Hill, two of the best receivers in the league, just torching this team's secondary? The chances of them doing anything in the postseason, I would say, is relatively low. And that's, I think, how we felt about the Predators in recent years. Yeah, they can make the playoffs. That's great. But when they face Colorado or they face a better team, are they going to stand a chance? And we got the answer last year. The answer is no. So I do commend the Titans, despite the timing, of making a hard decision and moving on from the GM. The Predators, don't appear to be wanting to do that, as I have. I feel like I should trademark this, but David Poyle has the job security of a Supreme Court justice, and that's how it's going to be. But so I appreciate the Titans seeing the writing on the wall with John Robinson and just making a decision to tear the Band-Aid off?
A couple thoughts. The Predators versus Titans comparison, I understand where you're coming from, because these seem like two teams that have made it to the playoffs yet haven't been able to advance further. But I think the difference with the Titans and the Predators is the Predators have seemed to have just skated into the playoffs, no pun intended, just barely. You know, they'll be that final, you know, seed in the playoffs, and then they get matched up with a much better team. You don't really ever feel like there was a chance. Mm-hmm. I never felt like there was a chance with the Avs. Maybe you felt a little bit more confident in 2021 against the Carolina Hurricanes, but still, the Predators were outmatched. Then with the Titans, they were the top seed in the AFC last year. They didn't just barely make the playoffs. And yes, they got bounced in the first round, but they were competitive in that game. That was a game that they should have won. The Titans beat the Bills, a Super Bowl favorite last year in the regular season. The Titans beat the Chiefs, another Super Bowl favorite in the regular season last year. The Titans played so closely with the Bengals despite three interceptions from Ryan Tannehill. So even though, you know, in terms of playoff success, both of those teams have had, you know, very similar amount of success, the Titans' success throughout the regular season and the way that they have been perceived in the postseason has been incredibly different than the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a completely fair counterpoint. I think more so it's just, you know, thinking about what was the last great move that John Robinson made as general manager of the Titans. Like the one move that you say that was, I mean, you think about Ryan Tannehill, for example. It might have happened since then, but, you know, trading for Ryan Tannehill, you know, when his value was at its lowest, and turning him into a above average to at times great starting quarterback in the NFL again. That's a great move.
Great move.
But
got him on the cheap.
Right. But what was the last move that the Titans made that made you, that's a fabulous move?
I know it's not a singular move, but I looked at the 2019 draft, and I would say that was probably like the best mark on John Robinson's resume. Jeffrey Simmons, AJ Brown, Nate Davis, Amani Hooker, David Long. All players that are still contributing. Yes. Not AJ Brown. Most of these players still contributing to this football team.
The only problem, of course, is that that was 3 years ago.
That's the thing.
That's the problem. And I think that's where the parallel between the GMs in town sort of comes, is like thinking about the last, you know, the last good, great moves, because David Poyle and John Robinson each had a run there where, like I said, they felt like they could do no wrong. Every move they made seemed to be a good one. But then I felt like as they were trying to chase that championship, they made moves that were perhaps out of character or desperate, mm-hmm. and it backfired.
So you mentioned some of the moves, and this is a what have you done for me lately league. And if you're going to ask John Robinson, what have you done for me lately, it's, you know, a 2022 draft that seems promising, and an absolute bust of a 2021 draft, and an absolute bust in the first round in 2020. But still, my question is, why now? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, your phones, I see them lining up. I promise we will get to them next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan in for Jared Stillman. And before the break, Jared. Adam made a fair point about all of the bad things that John Robinson has done. You know, drafting Caleb Farley, drafting Isaiah Wilson.
Have we mentioned the Caleb Farley news today, by the way?
Oh, also, yeah, the Caleb Farley news, which unfortunately is not very surprising, but Caleb Farley is out for the season. He is undergoing a surgery for a herniated disc, a microdiscectomy on his back today. So he will undergo surgery today. Caleb Farley out for the remainder of the season.
And Mike Herndon of PaulGaharski.com adds context to that. This is Farley's third back surgery to go along with two ACL repairs before the age of 25. So talking about, you know, good and bad moves that John Robinson made and whose idea these moves were, you know, drafting Caleb Farley at the time, there was plenty of questions about it because of his injury history and not playing,
He
didn't play his final season at Virginia Tech. So why take a risk on that? Well, this is why a lot of teams didn't take a risk on Caleb Farley. It's not looking good for him. You know, he's still young, but three back surgeries and two ACL repairs before the age of 25, that doesn't doesn't seem good.
Getting virtually nothing out of your first round picks in back to back years. And I get that. I understand. Those are absolutely reasons that if John Robinson, if/when John Robinson was fired, those are reasons that should be cited. However, John Robinson got a contract extension after both of those first round draft picks. John Robinson got a contract extension after the trade for Julio Jones. So anything that happened before February 2022 when he got that five-year extension, I don't think is necessarily fair to cite that. And you mentioned some of the bad moves he made, and those are all fair, but I still go back to why now? If Amy Adams Strong didn't think that John Robinson was going to be able to take the Titans to the next level, I understand. I don't necessarily agree. I understand her thinking. But what moves is John Robinson going to make from now until the end of the season? He's not drafting. The trade deadline is over. I mean, the biggest move that could be made is if there's a player that wants to get cut and they're on the open market and the Titans could pick them up. So I still don't understand the timing.
Which is what leads to the speculation about whether there was something so there's some sort of misbehavior or some sort of blow up.
Shenanigans.
Yes.
Shenanigans.
Something that like that.
That led to an abrupt firing. And that's why I think Chris could be onto something when he said, hey, there could have been a fight after the game, or there could have been an altercation. And it was then and there, Vrabel or Robinson. And Amy Adams Strunk made up her mind.
Yeah, I could fantasy book this scenario where, you know, they get back to Titans headquarters and Vrabel being Vrabel makes some smarmy, you know, comment like, you know, what a great trade you made there, John.
Yeah.
And then Robinson, you know, already emotional, I'm sure, because of his team getting its butt kicked, you know, stepped up to Vrabel. And, you know, I could totally see that in my head. It feels like something that you would watch on a wrestling show. But like it could be, you know, like if someone were to tell me that, I'm like, yeah, I could see that happening. The likelihood of that actually happening, I don't know, I doubt it, but like I could see something like that being the final straw.
I mean, anything's on the table. The Titans have not confirmed nor denied anything, so anything is on the table. But let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris is up next.
Hi, Caroline, how you doing?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Hopefully, I don't know if I'm going to follow up the cracking up that I got with you and Jared before, and Adam, pleasure to meet you for the first time.
Thank you.
Couple of points. You know, even though John Robinson being fired, the timing, I agree, is a little bit crazy. And, I mean, in the end, the bad kind of outweighed the good. Yo, none of your first-round picks are making it to a second contract. I think Big Jeff might be the exception now under a new regime. But my thing is, with all of this, it feels like Vrabel is being labeled as blameless. It seems like he's being untouchable. And I'm thinking, where does Vrabel play in all of this? Because Vrabel, you know, yes, John Robinson makes the picks. He signs the guys. So, you know, and everything. But isn't it the coach's job to make sure that those picks and those players are ready to play on Sunday and play well on Sunday? And as we've seen with Dennis Daly, who stinks, and whose decision is it that keep Daly in there? We have no other option. That's Vrabel.
Do you think Vrabel should have been fired?
I mean, I don't think Vrabel right now is as safe as he thinks he is. And I would be cautious of giving him all of that power. We've seen what happened with Bill O'Brien, because we know Vrabel thinks he knows more than everybody, and ego gets to his head and makes it seem like he's untouchable and tied down, he won't get rid of him. So, I mean, Vrabel, I don't think, is as safe as he is, and I just don't think he's making himself look like he's a victim, and he should deserve a little bit of blame.
Yeah.
Because, hey, you're the coach.
Thank you for your call, Chris. Look, I think you could say that. I mean, Mike Vrabel could go to John Robinson and say, look, you're not giving me good enough players. And John Robinson could say, okay, well, why is our first round pick this year not getting the ball enough? Why is Chigakonkwo rarely ever on the field? You got to use the guys that I drafted for you more. But if we're going to talk about the reasons why John Robinson may have gotten fired. We look at Isaiah Wilson, we look at Caleb Farley, which I know happened before the extension. Isaiah Wilson, that was not a matter of coaching up. Isaiah Wilson just went crazy. Caleb Farley, it was not a matter of coaching up. Caleb Farley came in with a broken back, and he hadn't played football in a year. That's not Mike Vrabel's fault. That's not his job to coach that player up. And Chris mentions Dennis Daly. What is Vrabel supposed to do with a practice squad offensive lineman? With an offensive lineman that came from the Carolina Panthers that wasn't all that great in Carolina either. So I hear Chris, and no, I don't think that anyone is blameless in this situation. But I think you also have to look at some of the players that we look as being busts or failures for John Robinson, and how much could Vrabel have really done about it?
Yeah, there is only so much influence that a coach can have on a player's development. Now, they have a large influence on it, but it's not. There's a level of natural talent that players possess that only can get them to a certain point. And of course, the best players have a lot more natural talent than the players that are on practice squads or backing up in the NFL. So in terms of Dennis Daly, I mean, you can only like, again, it goes back to the chicken poop into chicken salad. There's only so much you can do with certain players. And Dennis Daly, I believe, is an older player, right? He's a veteran in the league. Mm-hmm. So at that point, there isn't a lot of improvement that players of, that age. Now I want to know how old Dennis Daly is. But there's only so much improvement that a player of that age can make. So
he's 26.
Okay. Well, that's not that old. But, at that point, he has probably a limited ceiling as to how much more he can grow, if he can grow anymore. And there's only so much Mike Vrabel can do to help that now. You can quibble with the usage of certain players like Austin Hooper, for example, or Treylon Burks. But, I agree with the caller in the sense that Mike Vrabel is not infallible in this.
No.
There is blame to be had. And I know that Jared and Joe both expressed yesterday that there were a lot of people tap dancing on John Robinson's proverbial grave right now, despite every good
Just
thing that he had done.
Completely unsolicited.
Right.
And unnecessary.
So it's an incredibly interesting situation, and I'm sure at some point more details will come out about exactly what happened. It would certainly help to hear from Amy Adams Strunk. I don't think she did her organization a service by not speaking to reporters if this was indeed her decision. Now, we reporters are a self-important bunch, and we feel like we should get everything we want, and people will read the news release and say, hey, she did comment on it. She sent out a release. You didn't really learn anything from that release. No. That you can't learn. I mean, you can learn a lot more by pressing people for information. So I think hopefully at some point she will have to talk about something, whether it's an event about the new stadium, and she will be asking these questions, and I'm very interested to hear the answers.
So we all have an idea of what we think happened. What was ultimately the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back with John Robinson's employment with the Tennessee Titans? What does TD think? TD will join us for the TD Power Hour coming up next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.